I want to turn to Genesis chapter 28. You know, here we see how Jacob leaves his father's house and verse 10. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went to Haran. And he came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it on his head and lay down in that place. He had a dream. What a wonderful dream he had. Young boy. Behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac, the land on which you lie. I will give it to you and to your descendants. You know, Jacob has stolen the birthright, and in our understanding, we can't say Jacob was such a wholehearted brother, but yet he had such a good dream, and he had a dream from the Lord. And verse 14, your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And yes, this is the promise God gave to Jacob. And in you, and in your descendants, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you. I'll keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I've done what I promised you. What a fantastic word from the Lord in his dream. Oh, may God give us such dreams, brothers and sisters. I long to have such dreams. And verse 16, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. What a revelation Jacob had. And when I think of CFC for the last 4 decades in this place, that's what I can say this morning. Surely the Lord has been in this place. Like Jacob, we don't have to say, I did not know it. I hope you all can say, I came here and experienced the presence of God. I can say that's how it's been for me. And Jacob said, this is none other than the house of God. I want to praise the Lord that I can say that too. I could say that this has been the house of God. Not only for me, for many of us. And brothers and sisters, this morning we can really praise and thank the Lord. And this is the gate of heaven. We've had some wonderful revelations revealed to us here. Truth about kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, how to be heavenly minded, how to have heavenly values, how to live a heavenly life here on earth. And Jacob called that place Bethel. That's the house of God. Oh, I praise the Lord for what the Lord's been doing amongst us. He's been gathering together the wholehearted ones, the humble ones, the faithful ones, the obedient ones. And God gathers together such people and then, as it were, He lays up a ladder for them that reaches to heaven. That's the church. Can have a glimpse of heaven while we live on this earth. Through the Holy Spirit. What an awesome place is this. I hope this morning you will also say that. Lord, thank you for bringing me here. Gate of heaven. I think without a doubt we can say all those who came here, they were blessed. At least they had a platform where they can grow spiritually. Definitely I can say that.
Whether they used it or not, that's up to them. Even the Lord doesn't force any one of us to grow spiritually. He just shows us the way. It's up to us to follow the Lord. And not only that, God gave a word to Jacob. And what is the word? I will not leave you. Verse 15. Until I have done what I have promised. You know, brothers and sisters, the Lord just didn't save us and say, somehow you could go to heaven. No, God's promise is, I will work in you. I'll put my laws in your heart and mind. And He works in us to do His will and good pleasure. And the Lord says, I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised. In other words, until I've transformed you more and more like Jesus. Until I've written all my laws in your heart. Oh, I hope you can understand God's heart. He longs to lead us to a life of victory, triumph, where the enemies will not triumph over us, where the lust of the flesh can be brought under our feet, where Jesus can rule over us in this body, over our lust. And that's the kingdom of God, where the domain of sin is overthrown. That Jesus can reign, where the Holy Spirit can control us. What a wonderful way to live here on this earth. And to gather together a group of people who long to do God's will. And where they can be united. Where they can live in fellowship. In harmony. And that's the work the Lord is doing in amongst us in these days. And I also want to share one verse from Haggai. I don't want to take much time. Haggai chapter 2. Verse 7. Chapter 2 or 7. Yeah. The Lord says, I will fill this house with glory. And verse 9. In this place I will give peace. You've tasted the glory of God in this place. And the glory of God in this place has been peace. How good it is to have peace. You know, brothers and sisters, if you take a tour around Bangalore and around the country, one of the saddest things we see is so amongst God's people, so much of strife and division and lack of peace. And whereas in our midst, God's given us peace, and we've had the glory of the Lord. And not only that, verse 19, the Lord says, from this day on, I'll bless you. And we can say that all of us who come here, we've had a measure of God's blessing over our lives. Isn't it so? Beyond our imagination. All of us who came here to CFC, we've all been blessed so much. And I hope this morning we'll remain thankful for that. And and also one verse from Malachi chapter 3 verse 16. Malachi chapter 3 verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention, heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and esteem His name. If you ask me, what is CFC? Shall I tell you in one line? CFC has been a place where those who fear the Lord, they speak to one another. They don't speak about how to make money, how to come up in life. And he says, the Lord gave attention and heard it. Oh, here we speak about how to become more and more godly.
How to be obedient more and more. How to become like Jesus more and more. See, the book of remembrance was written before him. And for those who fear the Lord and those who esteem his name, and God has started to gather together people who fear him. That's the kind of people we have started to draw together in this place for the last 40 years. Those who esteem his name. And I pray that God will continue to do that work in the next generation. I hope you young people, you will say, I want to fear the Lord more than my than ever before, you can say. Yeah, I hope in the next 20 years, 30, 40 years, if the Lord tarries, all of you young people, the Lord can say that about you, that you come here to learn to fear the Lord more, to learn to be obedient more, and to honor His name more. Oh, may God continue that work with the next generation also. And in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 12. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 12. I will leave among you a humble and a lowly people, and they will take refuge in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel will do no wrong and tell no lies, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they will feed and lie down, but not to make them tremble. And that's the kind of people God has sought to bring amongst us. A humble and a lowly people, those who are interested in learning humility, meekness and lowliness, and those who take refuge in the name of the Lord, and they don't tell lies, they're saved from all lies, saved from deceitful tongue. I hope you have cleansed yourselves much after you came to CFC. See, they'll feed and lie down with no one to make them tremble. That means you come to rest in God. You become secure in God. How wonderful, brothers and sisters. And oh, may the Lord show us more and more the path of life, the path of glory. And we shall continue to fear the Lord, honor His name, and say, Lord, fulfill all that you promised, Lord, in the days ahead. And as we move to a new place, as we often say, Father, it is not the building that's important. It's the people. It's the condition of our heart. It's an attitude to sin. It's an attitude to God's word. It's an attitude to brothers and sisters. And that's what makes the church. Oh, may the Lord continue to lead us forward in a greater measure than we have known in the past. Like we often say, may the Lord do beyond all your thinking. And can I hear an amen this morning? Amen. We'll sing a song now. And then I'll ask for the end to share a word briefly. And after that, the charge.
Yeah, my Jesus will do all things well. Amen. We praise the Lord that we, like we heard, we experienced the glory of God in this place. Not in the building, but like Newton said, it's the people. And in this place we have had peace among us. And I trust that none of us are attached to this building. We are attached to Jesus. We are connected to Him and we are attached to one another. That's what really matters. And I want to share with you what's on my heart. You know, another dream. We heard about Jacob's dream. I want to share with you what Solomon's dream. You turn there to 1 Kings in chapter 3. You know what I was sharing earlier when we dedicated these children. And when Solomon had the solemn responsibility of building a temple for God, then it was a building, and of leading God's people. And as we move into a new building, we, in the coming days, move into a new leadership that will lead the church forward. And we praise God that God has raised up in our midst godly brothers to lead and take the church forward. Godly young people also can contribute to that, who can be shepherds under shepherds. We thank God for all the seven brothers. And this is what comes to my heart as we think of what God seeks to do among us. I believe that's why it was God ordained that we had three children in the center in our midst, that God was reminding us what the kingdom of heaven is like. And it says here in 1 Kings in chapter 3 in verse 9, Solomon said, he says, "You have shown great loving kindness to your servant David, my father, according as he walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart toward you. And you have reserved for him this great loving kindness, that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day." I want to read that to you in the Message Bible. Then Solomon says, "I am too young for this, a mere child. I don't know the ropes, hardly know the ins and outs of this job. And here I am, set down in the middle of the people you've chosen, a great people, far too many to ever count." He says there in the version we all have before us, he says, "O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, yet I am but a little child." Solomon began so well, but so sad the way he ended his life. He began really well. He said, "I am but a little child. I do not know. I do not know." And I want to say that, you know, that is characteristic. It's not the words that we speak. But if we can always have that before our eyes, "I do not know. I do not know how to act in this situation. I do not know what to speak. I do not know how to bring up my children in the fear of God. I may read books and I can get a lot from the internet, but Lord, I do not know. I do not know how to help this needy brother and this needy sister." And that's what Solomon says, "I do not know how to go out or come in. Your servant in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant," this is the second thing I'd like you to underline, "give your servant an understanding heart." A hearing heart, if you have a margin, literally. "Give your servant a hearing heart." That's what we want for our children, you know, we want them to listen. "Didn't you hear me?" we say to them sometimes when they ignore us. "Didn't you hear what I said?" Let's ask God to give us a hearing heart. And that is how we can bless the church, my brothers and sisters. It's not good to read the Bible. It's good to study and meditate on it. And go to come to the meeting, serve the church, sacrifice, whatever else. But I tell you, what you and I need is a hearing heart. Mary chose that. She learned the secret. Martha was taken up with serving. Somebody has to do the serving. But she was distracted. That's the thing there. Nothing wrong that she was serving. You know, a lot of people go to the other extreme and say, you know, it doesn't really matter how I keep my house. It doesn't really matter, you know, I don't bother too much. And we can be slipshod. Even the way we dress doesn't really matter. You know, God sees the heart. That's true. But the problem with Martha, she was distracted. She was doing was perfectly right. Somebody had to serve, somebody had to cook a meal. And if she also came and sat at Jesus' feet, nothing would have been done. So there are things to be done, but we should not get distracted with what is to be done. If I'm called to do something in the church, I don't get distracted in what I have to do. I still hear. And I thank God. With all that has been happening in seeing this building come to completion, that God gave me a hearing heart. Many, many things that God has said to me. And so that's what I want that we learn, that we don't get distracted. If you are doing something, don't get distracted with it. Ask the Lord for a hearing heart. He says, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, discern between good and evil. For who is able to lead this great people of yours? I am a little child, I do not know. You young people, if you can say that to God, I'm a young person, I'm a little child, I do not know. I do not know how to bless the others. I do not know how to do what I'm asked to do. Give your servant an understanding heart. And if we covet that, my brothers and sisters, I tell you, this church will go from strength to strength, from glory to glory. The glory of God will continue to be in our midst. The peace of God will continue to be among us. We'll continue to dwell in peace. And we see that that's in, it says there, it was pleasing, and that's what I want to see, verse 10. It was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself a discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart. That's what we need in these days, a wise and discerning heart. There's so much deception, so much happening around in Christendom. You young people, the future of this church is in your hands by the grace of God. And if you swallow everything that you hear and see on the internet and that is preached today, you can't be a blessing to this church. Give your servant a hearing heart. And it says God gave him a wise and discerning heart so that there will be no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. I've also given you what you have not asked for, riches and honor and all that. You walk in my ways, keep giving my statutes and commandments as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days. We read what David said. I don't involve myself in great matters and things too difficult for me. My soul is like a weaned child. That was his father. He passed on something to his son. And if we can pass on something to our children, they see that simplicity in our lives. They see that humility. We don't act. Then We are leaving them something more than if we left them money and property, my brothers and sisters. And it says Solomon awoke and behold, it was a dream. But God did what he had promised him in that dream. And God gave him a wise and discerning heart. And then you know the story, these two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And you know the story. Both of them were, one woman's child died. She took her dead child and put it near the bosom of the mother whose child was living, took the living child and put it near her. And they got up in the morning. This woman who had the living child found this child was dead. And it says there, the first woman counted, no, your son's the dead one. Mine's the living one. They went back and forth this way in front of the king. In verse 23. And after a moment, the king said, after a moment, he had asked for an understanding heart, a hearing heart. He didn't, and I like to look at another word, he didn't make a decision by what his eyes saw and what his ears heard. After a moment, the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought the sword to the king. Then he said, cut the living baby in two. Give half to one and half to the other. The real mother, the living baby, was overcome with emotion for her son and said, oh no, master, give her the whole baby alive. Don't kill him. But the other one said, if I can't have him, you can't have him. Cut away. Then the king gave his decision. Give the living baby to the first woman. Nobody is going to kill this baby. She is the real mother. And word got around. Everyone in Israel heard of the king's judgment. They were all in awe of the king, realizing it was God's wisdom that had enabled him to judge truly. That's what we need in the church, my brothers and sisters. That's what we need, young men and women, young brothers and sisters would have a wise and discerning heart. It's not sacrifice, it's not your gift, it's not your ability. You may do things very well. But what the great need today to build the body of Christ is for those who would have a wise, discerning heart, an understanding heart, to choose that good part, like Jesus said, that no one could take away from Mary. Martha was distracted. Don't get distracted. You've got a job to do, whether it's in your workplace, you're given a job, don't get distracted. Do it well. Don't do it in a slipshod way. You got a home to keep, sisters? Keep it well. And whatever God has given you to do, like I said earlier, maybe a small boundary, do it well. And God will bless you. But have a hearing heart. Don't get distracted in whatever you are doing. Say, Lord, I want an understanding heart. I want a hearing heart. And as we move into a bigger place, let us continue to seek that. That's how this church can go on. If there are brothers and sisters who have a hearing heart, an understanding heart, who have wisdom, who grow in wisdom, that's a great need of the hour. I want you to look at one word before I stop in Isaiah chapter 11. We've read the first part, Isaiah chapter 11. You know, Jesus, when the book of Isaiah was given to him in the synagogue, he read, this is the passage he had read, you know, in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord. He says, a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, verse 1, Isaiah 11, 1, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he would delight in the fear of the Lord. This is an expansion of what Solomon had asked for, an understanding heart. You want to know what it means? Here it is. Wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he would delight in the fear of the Lord. He'd be quick of scent, we heard Brother Zach share once. Quick of scent. And I smell there's no fear of God in this place to quickly move out, young people. No fear of God in this company, in my office, in my work spot. Move away from there. That's what Abraham looked for. And he thought that there was no fear of God, and that's why he told a lie. And so it says that he will delight, will be quick of scent in the fear of the Lord. He'll not judge by what his eyes see. We just saw that with Solomon his son. No, make a decision by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. That's the spirit in the church, and that's the spirit we are to preserve. It doesn't stop there. We move into the millennium. We move. Here we see the kingdom of God. It says the wolf will dwell with the lamb. That's how it is in the church. The wolf will dwell with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the young goat. And a little child will lead them. Do you see why Jesus said, unless you get converted and become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you see why? It's a little child, it says, that will lead them. This is the kingdom of God. The cow and the bear will graze. The young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra. The weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. That's the church. We get a taste of the kingdom of God. We get a taste of the millennium where Jesus will reign. There will not be any, it says, no hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, because the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Wonderful, isn't it? We're moving into that. And the church, we get a taste of that. Heaven on earth, my brothers and sisters. Let's seek for that. Let's seek and ask the Lord to help us. Give us a hearing heart, an understanding heart. It'll please the Lord when you ask for that. Because then we can build the church, we can build the body of Christ. And may God help us, that the Spirit will rest upon us as we move into a bigger place. It will never happen like it happened in Israel. They gloried, you know, in the ark which was there, but the presence of God they had lost. And one day, the presence of God moved out of that temple. We never want that to happen. That the presence of God leaves us because we are distracted. We are taken up with other things. Young people, may God pour out His Holy Spirit upon you. And preserve us in the coming days, that the glory of God will rest upon us and His peace will continue to dwell among us. Amen.
Many of us, when we first came to CFC, we remember 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, most of us came with our baggages. We were defeated, we were down, we were discouraged, and some even had financial difficulty. But when we came here and heard the word of God properly, we got delivered. But over a period of time, things changed because we took things for granted. There's a saying in English that familiarity breeds contempt. And when we take things for granted, we tend to, you know, think highly of ourselves. And we forget that initial humility with which we came to the church. We read in Romans 1, verse 21. We read here that the people who knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Because of this, we read here in this chapter that God gave them over. Means God gave up on them. God gave up on them. God gave up on them. Three times it comes here. Verse 24, verse 26, and verse 28. It all happened because they were not thankful. They took things for granted and they thought they were wiser than the God who made them. Even today people are like that, and because of that their folly is manifest to everybody. And because of their unthankfulness, God gave them over step by step. The first step is that God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. This is unthankfulness. First, they started making for themselves images of wood and metal and mud and things like that, started worshipping them. They became idolaters. And then they became morally corrupt. And then they became homosexuals, perversion. And then thirdly, we read of nearly 20, 21 types of sins that God gave them over to. You read that from verse 28 onwards. There are so many things I don't want to read. Depraved mind and filled with unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, so on and so forth. There are certain things which look very harmless, you know, in these things. One of which is gossips. It says, God gave them over to gossip. This is the third stage, that if a person has given up on a person, if God has given up on a person to be a gossip, that means he has reached a third level of depravity, according to this verse. And slanderers and disobedient to parents. Young people, remember that. When you are disobedient to parents, God has given up on you. Remember that. This is a third step of depravity. Because you are not thankful for your parents. You have your own demands and you think you need to be treated properly, and so many demands you have from your parents, you don't know how much struggle they go through, getting fired at the office and being shouted at by the boss, and they don't know how to make ends meet, but still you have your own demands on them. And remember, when you are complaining and you are disobedient, this is the lowest level that you have sunk to, because there is no thankfulness in your heart. When thankfulness goes out, all these things come in. When you empty out a vessel and keep it like that, so many dust particles and things keep coming in. Even if you clean a house and lock it up airtight and go, when you come back after a month, you will see it's full of dust. What happens? It just creeps in. Nature abhors vacuum, they say. It is very true. If there is no thankfulness in me, then I begin to pick things on, so and so, fault, keep finding fault with others. It should not be. God doesn't want that to happen to us. God wants us to progress, like it says in Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous is like the rising sun that shines brighter and brighter and brighter till the midday noon sun. So that's how our lives are supposed to be. And because of unthankfulness, God had to give up even on Israelis. Even though God brought them out from the land of slavery, Egypt, they were given up because they were not thankful. They were all the time complaining, grumbling, murmuring. Like I said before, familiarity breeds contempt. And the more I become familiar with the things of God and with godly people and take them for granted, because here the elders serve you freely without, anything, not even taking a rupee from the church. And, we tend to think lightly of them. And you know what happens? I was shocked to see this verse in Lamentations. Lamentations, verse 4. Lamentations comes after Jeremiah. It says the presence of the Lord scattered them. One of the judgments of God is that He scatters people. And the characteristics of such people is that they did not honor the priests, nor did they favor the elders. They did not honor the priests that God had placed among them, nor did they honor them. Not that the elders want your respect or things like that from you, but it's an attitude of gratitude that I'm talking about. In my heart, am I thankful to the elders that God has placed over me? Am I thankful for that and for all that I have received over the decades? And how it was when I came here as a poor, humble, I was happy to sit at the back there. But today, I think I need a front seat or something like that. I deserve to be treated properly because I've been here for a few decades. I'm an older brother, older sister. Yeah, God have mercy on us. If we continue like this, we will go down deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. 10 lepers came to Jesus, begged him for healing. Jesus healed all the 10 of them. You know how many came back? Only one. And when he came back and thanked Jesus, what did Jesus tell him? He said, now that you're healed, your faith has saved you. He got healing as well as salvation. So when you're in that 10% of the people who are thankful, you not only get your healing from leprosy or whatever sin or disease, but you also get saved. Learn to be thankful. And it says in Isaiah 28, verse 22. Isaiah 28, verse 22, it says, "Now do not carry on as scoffers, lest your fetters be made stronger." You see, the more I scoff at people and at the things of God, the stronger my fetters will be. How many of us would like to have strong fetters? We all like to be free people, like the eagle flying in the air without any fetters, without any bondages, without any burdens. But if I turn out to be a scoffer, Peter warns about such people, in the last days they shall be scoffers. And one of the marks of the scoffers is that they become bound to this earth and they become slaves. They are no more free people, free men. They are scoffers and their fetters become stronger. So the remedy for getting out of that is to cultivate a thankful heart. Be thankful for small things. In everything give thanks, it says. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18 it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus." And also in Ephesians 5:20 it says, "Always be thankful." So let us cultivate, as we enter into the new decade and go to a much better place, a newer place, let us shed all these things, our complaints, our murmurings, our grumblings, our demands on one another. Let us cultivate this spirit of gratitude, thankfulness, so that it will go well with you, because this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus, that you give thanks in everything. Amen.